I remember the last time when I stood up here, that was last year. Same thing. After the seminar in Florida, I gave a report in April. So my task for this morning is to give a report, somehow a testimony and a challenge to everyone. You know, especially we're planning to have a tracts distribution on April 20. This, I think, 2 Saturdays from now. So I am praying and I'm hoping that, you know, if everybody could come and do the task that the Lord entrusted for all of us, not just for the pastor, not just for the elders, but for to everyone. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you once again for your goodness. We do recognize that we cannot do anything apart from you. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to be here to worship you. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for all the sins that we have done. Make us worthy before you. And as we talk about the missions and evangelism, the challenges is before us. Help us, Lord, to take some actions. Give us the burden. Give us the passion, the desire in sharing your word to other people. Thank you, Lord, once again, and we entrust to you the rest of the day. May you glorify your name in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. So what we're going to do today, you'll see a lot of pictures, video, and I'll explain it to you who are those people in the picture and what happened. But before that, you know, before going to the Philippines last February, we stayed there for almost a month. The weather is good, not as hot right now. But every time we go or every time we talk to people, whether we are up there in the sky, I mean like in the airplane, we went to the jails, we went to the streets, we went to churches. One thing we always make sure or tell to the people, we have nothing to offer. You know, we are sinners like you. We have nothing to offer. But we can offer something. And we know someone who could offer you a lot of things. And that is Jesus. The title of the message, as you could see, it's HOPE in acronym. H-O-P-E. We'll try to discuss that. Like I said, sharing my testimony at the same time as a message. And we will connect with the verses that we have read. HOPE. You know, if you look around, outside or even inside the church, a lot of people are hopeless, you know. But you know what? We as Christians shouldn't be like that. We have hope whether we are sick. We have hope whether we have problem in marriages. We have hope whatever trials we might be in. And even after that, we have hope. And that is the hope that we have to share with the people outside. In practical ways. Let's start with the video, how we started. You know, we started with a lot in planning. It's always like that. You know, we plan a lot of people. Everybody will go. Everybody's excited. I think we were like 10. And at the end, there's only 3 of us who went. But at least they are part of the plan. We started with 10 and we ended up 3 going. The first picture, as you could see, yeah, that's the 3 of us who went down to the Philippines. That's the time when we are, you know, like somehow relaxing after all those ministries that we did. We're in SM. So those one guy is Sri Lankan and the other guy is another Filipino. So that's how we started. We did our fellowship every second Friday. We prayed, we do Bible study. And then we came up that idea, we planned that like a year ago. Why don't we go for a mission trip? Like I said, 10 of us who planned this, and we ended up 3. But at least, you know, somehow the Lord allowed us to go. So the first picture is that. Okay. So that's how it started. And like I said, I'm praying and I'm challenging every one of you as we do this tracks distribution. Hopefully all of us, if we can, that all of us will go. Imagine we could cover this. From here, 5 kilometer radius, north, south, east, and west. If we could do that, not just 10, 20 people who will do it. Okay, let's go. The highlighted or the highlights of this message or testimony is with these three people or three activities that we do. Number one, the blind woman. We encounter the blind woman. Second, the tracts distribution. And the third, it's in jail or jails that we visited. Hope. How can we share the hope that we have in practical ways? Number one, as you could see in here, can we change the picture now? I think they're not happy. Okay. They're not happy to see us. Okay. Now, so she got blind because of the sickness. I've known her for 30 years. You know, I was like, imagine 30 years. I'm 49 now. I was 19 when I met her. We're like growing up together. She's our neighbor. We don't have any plans of visiting her. She's not even part of the plan. But one time when we were, you know, when we are going around in my hometown, somehow the Lord's telling us to go in their house. And we went in. I didn't know she was blind. Or she turned blind. Or she got blind. So we went in. And the story with this woman, they thought she will die last year. And they're just waiting for that. See, they're hopeless. They're just waiting for her to die. And you know, they prepared everything. They said, okay, she'll die in December, something like that. For 6 months, she's not eating. For 6 months, she's not really eating. She only eats a little, okay? She can't even sleep on her back, like lying down. She only sleep like sitting down. I think because of all those things that happened to her. So the Lord allowed us to visit her, and we spent time in prayer. She was hopeless. We're thankful because the following time we visited her, before we came back here, she had that, you know, like inspiration to live. And that's the hope that we have. You know, like I said, it's not us. I have nothing to offer. But I said, Jesus can offer a lot of things with you. And I think you could follow her in TikTok or in Instagram. Because now it's true. She promised us, hey, Pastor, I will make a video to become an inspiration to many. Because I told her, you're not alone. Everybody, whether rich, poor, young, or old, people are going through something. It just happened that's the trial that you have experienced. She got blind. I think she's only maybe at my age, 49. Hope. Okay. How can we share the hope that we have in practical ways? Number one, I would say we need the heart of compassion or compassionate heart. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion in them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. In the context of this, some commentators are saying they were harassed and helpless because of their religious leaders. You know, these guys are asking them to follow the law of Moses, even it is not written. So it's hard to follow that. Even the one that was written, it's hard to follow. So somehow they are like that. And they are sheep without a shepherd. The role of the shepherd is to guide, to direct, to lead them in, you know, in the place where they could eat, where they could drink. But they don't have the shepherd. So that's what's happening to them. If we apply that in our time, in our practical way, what I'm telling to myself, if I'm the one who will look at these people, those people who are in jail. There's already a judgment on that, right? And there's no way you could share the gospel. Try to think about this. If you have judgment or assumptions with someone, let's say you're thinking, oh, he's a thief. Every time you look at the person, you will say, he's a thief. He's a bad guy. And you don't get a chance to know him, or you don't get a chance to share the gospel with them. Even the beggars outside, right? If we look at them, oh, they're just scammers. You know, they're just fooling us. If we look at that way, then we don't have the chance to share the hope that we have, because you have the judgment. So one thing I would say in here, if we want to share the hope that we have, we need the heart of compassion or a compassionate heart. How can we develop the compassionate heart? Look at them the way Jesus looked at them. Because if we use our judgment, oh man, we cannot do anything. We cannot do anything. So we have to look at them the way Jesus looked at them, or the way Jesus see them. No judgment, no blaming, no prejudice, nothing at all. Don't look at the skin. Don't look at the color. Don't look at the looks. Don't look at the face. It's sad because we as a human being, we have our own judgment right away, right? Every time we look at the person, number one thing, the first one we look, it's outside appearance. If they are good looking, we always think, oh, they are good. If they are not that good looking, this guy is a criminal. You know, they never planned for that. Who would like to have that kind of face? You know, like, they didn't plan for that. It is the Lord who gave that. So it's not their fault, or it's not our fault to have that face. It is God. So let's stop the judgment. In order for us to share the hope that we have, we need a compassionate heart. Take away all the judgment. Take away all the assumptions. You know, I don't know. We always assume things, right? We react on the things that sometimes it's not even true. Most of the time. And that's a devotion Charles Stanley shared this morning. We have to respond well. Don't react right away. That's two different things, reaction and responding. Reactions, you use your emotions, right? Most of the time. Respond, you use your brain. You think before you act. So if we have that, we have to set aside those judgment, those assumptions that we have. Trucks distribution. We have, like I said, we have to set aside our human thinking that this is an old ways to do evangelism. Before in the Philippines, the literature, it's free. It's free. We could get it in the Bible school. I remember that. But now you have to pay it, 6 pesos every Bible tract. So when we bought that, one of our friends saying, oh, you have to, how do you call that? You have to save this. You know, like, we have to give this to someone that we know they will listen to us. I was like, no, we cannot do that. We have to give it away. And somehow, you know, we discount of using these old ways in distributing tracts. We never know. It's good that it says in here, Jesus is the Lord of the harvest. It's not us. You know, once we go out there, we cannot change the person's heart. We're not, you know, we're not in charge for that. We're not doing that. Our job is to go out there and to give away this. So don't worry about the results. Just follow God and leave the results to God. We never know who will be converted. You don't even know. Even if you talk to them for a year or for 2 years, and they're not even, you know, become born again. It's not up to us. So let's set aside those assumptions that this is an old way. It's not going to work. You never know. I've known a guy, my coworker in Scott Mission, who became a born again because of literature. And I believe it's Brother Nick who shared with us in a Bible study. He became a Christian because of the literature. So we can never discount the power of God or even this literature. So hopefully you guys would come and join us. So we did a tracks distribution. I got a video in here that can play right now. Maybe later. There you go. Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you, Brother Jesse. One thing I learned in doing that, not everybody will smile at you. You know, you know, like you're doing the will of God. You're doing the work. No, not everybody will smile at you. Not everybody will applaud you. No, a lot of projections because we didn't take the whole video. We did that more than an hour because we distributed, I believe, 200 literature, and my Sri Lankan friend saying, I don't know how you do that, because you're trying to give them the tracks. Hey, you need this. You need God. You need it. And a lot of rejections, like I said. So don't be surprised when you go out there, people will reject you, okay? And they don't smile at you, okay? It's not about you. It's not about us. We're just trying to share the love of God. So that's the second highlighted with our mission trip. The tracks distribution, and we will be doing that. Rejection. Okay. We set aside our judgment. We set aside our assumptions. Heart of compassion. I hope we could develop the heart of compassion. You know, we might know a lot of things. We might even memorize the whole scriptures. I don't know if you could do that. We might have all the quotations in the world, but if we don't have the heart, it's going to be a problem. So we have to balance it. I hope we have the head and we have the heart, compassionate heart. So if you want to share the hope that you have or what we have, let's have the heart of compassion. Let's pray to God if we don't have one. And we have to remember, compassion, it's not the same as pity. You know, we can have some pity on people out there who are not doing anything. That's two different things. Compassion, there's an action on that. You just don't pity the person. Second, letter O, obedience. If we don't obey God, we cannot pass on the hope that we have. I remember Pastor Sani telling me, because before going down there, I don't know what sickness I have experienced. And somehow I have that fear not to go. In work, my boss telling me, maybe this is not a good time for you. Maybe you just stay here. Don't go. Maybe you could do it some other time. Maybe next year or after 6 months, you go. So somehow I have that fear of going down there. I don't know what's going to happen. But it's good that Pastor Zani encouraged me saying, you know, those Israelites, when they cross the sea, do you think they don't have that fear? They do, right? Well, sure they do. Some of them might be, you know, like didn't even want to go or didn't want to join. Because they are afraid. And in life, we have all the fear. We can have all the excuses saying, okay, I'm not going to join the tracks distribution because I'm afraid. I have fear. All of us, we do. I don't know what we will encounter out there. people will ridicule us. People will, you know, will do some things that we don't like. But we have to obey. We need to obey in order for us to pass the hope that we have. You know, if we don't obey, we will not experience the power of God. How would we know that God is powerful if we don't obey? Like I said, I am so nervous because I don't know what will happen. Even up there in the plane, I said, Lord, calm me down. Calm me down. I'm really afraid. I don't know why it's like that. For the first time in my life, after 49 years, I've experienced that. I was like, oh man, this is not me. This is not me. But I have to obey. I have to cross the bridge. And God is so powerful. He calmed me down. I don't know. I said like 14 hours up there from here to Japan or 12 hours. It's hard. It's better if you are in the land. You know, if you panic, you just stop there. Okay, relax. But you're up there. You cannot say to the pilot, hey, can we park somewhere? And, you know, I'm panicking. Let's just stop for a moment. You know, you cannot do that. It'll cost a lot of money. But it's true. We need to obey so we would know how powerful God is. Second, we cannot experience the provisions of God. We might, but in another way, you will appreciate more God's provisions if you obey. You know, when we were down there, if Elijah's speeding by, you know, by the raven or the birds or the angels, bake him something. You know, for us, every morning we woke up. I don't have the video and the picture. Every morning we woke up, we have food hanging on the gate. I'm not joking. In a plastic bag. It's true. I'm not joking. We have sopas, we have champurrado, we have lugaw, we have pancit, we have palabok. It's different every day. I was like, wow, that's good. You know, you don't need to cook, you don't need to prepare. It's hanging there. And that's the provisions of the Lord. If we obey, right? So let's obey God. Let's all do this. It's not just for the pastor, it's for everybody. Let's all do this. Obedience to God. There's two things that God commanded us in here. Number one is to pray. To pray. In the text that we have read, the problem, you know, Jesus is saying, the harvest is plentiful. So that is not the problem. It's there. The problem is the laborers. There's only few workers. There's only a few people who wants to join. And like what happened to us, okay, 10 down to 3. Where are how many of us here? 200, 150? I hope it won't go down to 10. At least 10%. Let's go for 15. Aim for 15 or even more. But what I'm saying is, we have to obey God. That is not the problem. The harvest, it's ready. It's there. We just need to go. And God is commanding us, number one, to pray. We need to pray. Pray for the laborers. And the laborers here is all of us. Jesus is simply saying, pray for yourself. Pray for yourself that God will give you the desire and the burden to those people. So it's not just us again. Pray. It's good that we have the prayer breakfast. I think it's 5 times now, right? And that was my first time. It's good because we have food and then we pray. So, yeah, we promote the prayer. The prayer here, there's a sense of urgency. There's a sense of urgency. If you notice, there's 3 times it mentioned the word harvest. The harvest is there. Jesus is the Lord of the harvest. If we don't pray for them, if we don't go and share the gospel to them, these guys will die and spend their eternity without Jesus or down there. So we have to pray. We need to pray for them. Second, the command there is send. It's not just praying for laborers. We need to send. Whether we are into missions or not, it's not our preference. It is God. God is telling us that we have to send someone. We have to send laborers out there. So let's pray. You know, Pastor San is saying that we are praying that someday one in our group will be going out there. You never know. That might be you. We never know. Let's pray for God that He could, you know, one of us will be out there and sharing the gospel to other people. Prayer and send. That's the command. Third, letter P. Preach the gospel. We cannot give hope, you know, like I said, without preaching the gospel. This is the most important one. We could help them materially. We could help them financially. But if we don't preach the gospel to them, all of them will go to nothing. It has to be balanced. We have to preach the gospel to those people. Why do we have to do that? Why do we have to evangelize? Let me just share the other picture, which is the other highlights of this, in jail. Can we show the pictures? There you go. I don't know if it is clear, if you guys could see it. Okay. That's inside the jail. We're thankful because they allowed us. We went with two jails, one in Caloocan and one in Valenzuela. Caloocan, they're so strict. They don't allow us to go, you know, to go inside. But in Valenzuela, because I used to do Bible study there when I was there with the officers, and one of my professors is teaching there, I think a batchmate of Pastor Luis, Mom Oria. We were there. They allowed us to go in there to share the gospel and to share some basic things that they need. Toothbrush, toothpaste, soap. What else in there? Like the basic necessities, we gave it to them. So we're thankful that the Lord allowed us to be there. And as you could see, the officer on the left, on our left, standing there. After we shared all of this, she came to us and saying, "You know what, Pastor? One thing that we are praying and lacking in here are preachers." She's saying that the government provided some of the things that the prisoners needed, but not the preacher. And it's true, because when we were there, I saw one guy, I don't know if he's a pastor or an elder, he's sharing the gospel with two cells. You know, he's standing in the middle because he wants to accommodate two of them, standing in the middle and screaming just for them to hear him. Lack of preachers, lack of laborers. So we need more laborers, and we have to preach the gospel to these people. Why do we need to do that? Why do we need to share the gospel? Number one, we evangelize, or we will do evangelism because we have the message to tell. You know, like I said, we kept on saying, we are in the truth. We have the truth, but we keep quiet. We don't say anything. And sometimes we are so ashamed, you know, that people will know that we are Christians. We hide it. We have the message, and we have to tell them that Jesus died for them. You know, well, we just celebrated the resurrection, and that is our hope, because one day all of us will resurrect, right? And this time it's good. We could still share what Jesus did on the cross. We evangelize because we have the message to tell. We evangelize, second, we preach the gospel because Jesus commanded us to do. If it is a command, there's no options on that. It's not an optional. We have to follow that. We have to obey God. And the word go, you could see in chapter 10, in chapter 28, God is commanding us, or Jesus is commanding us to preach the gospel. There's seven in here. Reasons why we need to share the gospel. Hell is real, and we're not trying to scare them, but we have to share. We evangelize, or we do evangelism, because we are God's means to reconcile the world to Himself. That's the means. that God can use for these people to know Him. We evangelize because tomorrow is not promised. Right? We never know what will happen. I wish we know. I wish we know when we will die. I wish we know what will happen to our jobs, to our family. But we don't know. So tomorrow is not promised. So we have to take advantage of the day, especially what the Lord's given us. Like I said, you know, even in the airplane, there's one guy there, a Filipino guy. We shared the gospel to him. I shared the gospel to him. And I've used the bridge illustration. After the presentation, he asked for the paper. He said, "Can I have this? Because I want to show it to my friends as well." Let's get ready for this. Let's keep on sharing the gospel to other people. Last, letter E. After preaching the gospel, we will go out with the other text or other illustration. Encouragement. We can give hope to others in practical ways through encouragement. How? Encouragement in three things: in finances, in fellowship. All of them are letter F. In spite of failures. We could encourage someone, not just outside there, or even inside the church, we could encourage them with these three things. Why in finances? I believe it's Pastor Luis always used this, right? I don't exactly know how explain that. When he used the illustration, he challenged the congregation. Let the church walk. And you guys know that, right? It's an old classic illustration. And the congregation will write, "Let her walk. Let the church run. Let her run. Let the church fly. Let her fly." But in order to fly, we need money. We need fund for that. And the congregation will reply, "Let her walk." Barnabas, when the church started, what he did, he sold his property and helped the missions. I'm not saying you do the same thing. I'm not saying that, please. But if the Lord is talking to you or dealing with you, you could do it. You know, the founder of YWAM, Youth with a Mission, Lauren Cunningham, when they're in short of fund, what he did the same thing. He sold his house and he put the money on the mission. Like I said, I don't know how the Lord's dealing with you, but I'm not saying you sell your house, okay? But we could encourage someone through finances. Let's help the missions. Let's help those people out there, people in Africa. Before they even reach the age of 5, they are dying because of starvation. That's the reality. A lot of people are dying because of starvation. We might not even know, and we're here to complain. I don't have this, I don't have that. Hey, look at outside. A lot of people are dying because of starvation. Somebody said, the world doesn't care how much you know and how much you have. They don't care. They want to know how much you care. I don't know what you do with your money. Like I said, I don't want to talk about this. But if we want to share the hope that we have, I believe somehow we could encourage someone in finances. The Lord bless us. You know, the Lord brought us here. I was talking to my sister, and she's like telling me, you know, some people are there and they've been working for many years and they're still there, just like that. And we were like sharing, we're blessed because the Lord somehow brought us here. And it's not an accident. The Lord brought us here for a reason. And one of those things is to help those people we have, the relatives that we have, But don't make an assumption again, thinking, you know, they're just abusing us. Yeah, we have to be wise. You know, we are stewards. But sometimes we just use that not to give. You know, sometimes we just use that. It's all up to you guys. I'm not suggesting, I'm not telling. But one thing I'm saying, we could encourage someone to have that hope that we have if we help them in finances. Second, encouragement in fellowship. We have a lot of pictures in here that we could show with the fellowship. Maybe you could change the pictures now. Okay, that's one of the fellowship that we have. We're training, we're doing bridge illustration there in the church in Bulacan. More. Oh, that's not part of that. Maybe this guy could encourage us in finances. The guy beside me. See the house? Intentionally, I include that. What I mean is the fellowship. We could encourage someone in the fellowship. You know, can we place another pictures? Because I want to show someone in there. Because it's not part of us more. That's another fellowship. Another fellowship. We did a feeding program. Censorship. That's Kuya Alex and Brother Guy. Fellowship. Don't show that again. Okay, that's another fellowship. Oh, okay. That's the guy. See the guy beside me? The guy in the blue. That time, he told me, he said, you know, Pastor, a night before you called me, I was thinking of giving up with my faith. He's been a Christian for a while. I've known him for, I think, maybe 15 years. He's saying, I'm thinking of giving up. And I'm telling to God, Lord, I'm praying that please send someone. And the Lord is somehow telling me, give him a call. And I called him. And somehow he got encouraged. And after that, I called him again to help us in driving. We went to Kuya Gary's place. He felt so accepted and belong when he talked to Kuya Gary and Kuya Alex. You know, he's telling me, it seems like we're friends for a long time. And I said, wow, that's good. It's a good comment. And it should be like that, right? It should be like that. I'm hoping that we don't allow those rejections or, okay, we have in one group, we don't welcome anymore. We're this. We don't want to ruin our group. No. Let's welcome everybody in our fellowship. And somehow we could encourage them. That guy is giving up. But somehow the Lord gave him hope because of the fellowship. Kuya Alex didn't know him. Kuya Gary didn't know him. But they welcomed him. Okay? Amen. You know, Billy Graham said 6 or 7 times that the people or visitors attend the church and no one talked to them or welcomed them. Most likely, they will leave the church. Most likely, they will leave the church. So don't be suplado and suplada. Let's welcome them in our fellowship. Okay? You want to grow in numbers, we have to welcome them. Lastly, and here I'm going to close, finally. In spite of failures, we will all make a mistake. Okay? All of us. That's for sure. I hope we won't make a mistake. I hope we won't fail. But you know what happened to Barnabas and Mark when he made a mistake? Barnabas welcomed him, embraced him, accepted him. And that's what we need. If we want to encourage someone, again, let's stop passing the judgment. In spite of the failures that they have committed, they have done, let's welcome them. Let's embrace them. God has a plan for them as well. So again, hope, H-O-P-E, practical ways we could do. We need the heart of compassion or compassionate heart. We need to be obedient. We cannot share the hope that we have if we just stay here. we have to be obedient. B, we have to preach the gospel. Tell the good news about Jesus. E, we could be an encouragement to someone. You know, I was meditating on this in the last one when I was in Scott Mission. I was thinking, Lord, how can I encourage someone? Show me the way. Or tell me what should I do. And last Friday, I was like, Lord, please, tell me what should I do to encourage someone. And, I remember a guy, a coworker, somehow isolating himself. So I gave him a call. I think he didn't expect that coming. So I gave him a call. And after the talk, he got encouraged. It's not about me, okay? It's not about me. What I'm saying, the Lord can use all of us in practical things. Let us pray.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you
and give you peace.
And give you peace. Gracious.